for some politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Well. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. Your fantasy guru, champion, and the place to be. You're listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday Edition. Normally done with me, Mr. FSP, and JT ATM Money. Of course, we're going to have a couple calls fly in today, especially with Super Bowl weekend in Fantasyland happening in a lot of leagues this week. So without further ado, let me bring in my co-host, JT ATM Money. What's up, JT?
Trying to get paid. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to get paid, too. Paid in a hurry. Because if I'm not paid kind of thoroughly, I start taking. So to finish that, no, okay, I guess that's a little bit past me. All right, anyway, you have any idea what that was from?
No, I have no idea what you just said.
NWA, look it up. All right, anyway. On today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, the show is sponsored by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com. Go there where winners win and players play. You're going to have a lot of great information. We bring up the question. This is a fantasy-based show today. This is pure fantasy-based. We're going to go to the NFL schedule. We have the question. Would you start Drew Brees, who you used all year long to get to this championship, or Kirk Cousins? Or, you know, someone like that. And you're in your Super Bowl. I want to thank my boy, Sean Leek, for posing this question on the Facebook page. And I said, you know what, this is a very interesting question because of the dynamics of fantasy football, the schedule, of course. And, you know, where a lot of people are. Like right now, I might not be in all of my championships, but I am in several of them. A couple for money. I have one free one I'm in. And I know Jerry's in a ton of championships for money. I'm pulling for him in a few and don't care about him in the other because I know he's going to give me no money. But, these questions are here today for some of you guys in your fantasy situation. We're also going to discuss Week 16 in the NFL, and we're going to give Jerry an opportunity. Hopefully, he finally got to see Adrian Broner get his butt whooped, demolished. I like to say that because, of course, I don't like his antics. I mean, he's a good boxer, but I just don't like his antics. So hopefully Jerry got a chance to see that, so we can talk about that, as well as
yes.
his recent comment of his return to boxing will be bigger than boxing. I mean, this guy
what?
Just never failed to amaze. Oh, yeah, yesterday there was a feed where he had posted some comments saying that his return to boxing will be bigger than boxing. Now, the story.
Who said this?
Adrian Broner.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Mm-hmm. But if you want to call in, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in on the FantasySportsAndCasino.com hotline. The number is 347-637-3220. Again, that's 347-637-3220. FantasySportsAndCasino.com, where winners win and players play. And if you're in Florida, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Florida folks, because a lot of people from Florida have gone to the site and have participated. So very happy to hear that, and hopefully we get more folks not just in the Florida area, but all over the world. Anyway, JT, I'm going to get to the first part, which is boxing, and get this out of the way. My cousin's not on the line. I don't know if he's going to call in today or not. But I'm going to get your thoughts on that fight and just the guy in general. So have at it.
Well, as you know, Adrian Broner is a pretty cocky guy, to say the least. He's a little over the top, to say the least. What, 22, 23 years old, a world champion, undefeated before he went into this fight. I watched the fight. Rounds 1 through 4, the challenger, Medina, or I think I'm pronouncing his name right, wore him out. I mean, he was wearing him out. Knocked him down in the second round. I thought, I couldn't believe when I saw it. Knocked him down into the ropes, through the ropes, I should say. He got up quick, was wobbly. You see that. He was holding. And then he seemed to gather himself after the fourth round for a short stint in the fifth, sixth, and seventh. That's probably his best three rounds of the whole fight, with those three rounds. In the eighth round, quite naturally, he got knocked down again for the second time. And then Medina gave him a headbutt, and he faked the hell out of that, milked that to no end. It was so obvious, it was ridiculous. So in my opinion, he got knocked down twice, quite naturally. Everybody saw he got knocked down twice, but Medina got a point taken away from him, quite naturally, negated the knockdown. He may have won the ninth round, I should say, but it was close, and he did a desperate showing, which you would hope he would do because he's a champion, in the 12th round. But overall, he was taking some shots, and he was, in my opinion, he got schooled. He got schooled in a big time. I don't know if he came into the fight cocky. Overrated. I didn't know if he came into the fight overconfident, or didn't take this guy that seriously, because the fact is this guy was knocking, putting some nice shots on him, nice body shots and nice chin head shots, left hook, left uppercut. This guy was giving him some nice shots. And you can see that among the two times that he did get knocked down, he got shaken a few more times other than that. I couldn't believe it, but I watched it, and he got worn out, and he got schooled.
So here's my question. Was my depiction of what took place accurate, or was my cousin, who's wrong as usual, wrong in saying that the guy didn't get demolished? I mean, the terminology that I use, fine. Some people can say demolish is just like complete obliteration. But in my opinion, that's what I saw from a guy that's supposed to be the one or two best fighter in the world to get taken, get knocked down twice, and to be shown how to box and fight. You know, I just felt that that was appropriate terminology. But in your opinion, Mr. Taylor, was I far off, or was I?
You were a little off. I don't say he got destroyed. I don't say he got destroyed. I do say he got schooled. And the guy definitely he didn't have an answer for the guy at all. I mean, like I said, the fifth, sixth, and seventh round is probably his best rounds of the fight, in my opinion. Otherwise than that, this guy pretty much schooled him from start to finish. Regardless of all the kind of tactics he was trying to do, a hold on or whatever he was trying to do to negate this guy's power, it wasn't working, because the guy definitely was putting some leather on him, and he had virtually no answer for him. And you could tell it in the scoring. It was a unanimous decision, and the scoring, two out of three judges wasn't even close. So I wouldn't say he got destroyed. I do say he got wore out, and he definitely got schooled. Definitely got schooled. So he needs to go back to the drawing board. I can't believe that what you just told me, that he actually came out. But I can believe it because he's cocky like that. And he's got to keep up that persona now because he started it. Now he's got to keep on going with it because that's part of his thing. So
his brand, his label.
Yes,
so what do you
exactly.
think about him just walking out the ring and not sticking around to be interviewed?
Well, in my opinion, and I'm an old school guy. I'll be 60 years old in about 5 months. You get in the ring like a man. If you get beat, you take the beating like a man, and you stand up after the fight and answer the questions like a man. You don't just walk out. That's, to me, and I'm going to put it plain and simple, that's a punk move, in my opinion. To walk out just like that, that's a punk move. It's like I'm going to take my ball and go home because I didn't get my way. That to
and
me, that's a punk.
I think Paulie Malignaggi probably got a lot of laughter and a lot of love out of this loss that Broner took, because Paulie fought him and he got beat, and Paulie was trying to be the gracious guy, but Broner went over there and said he took his belt and his woman and wasn't at all gracious in, you know, a victory. But this shows his character, and this is why I don't like the guy. I mean, I've grown to not like, but understand a little bit your boy, Money Mayweather, because he's become humbled throughout, you know, the last couple of years. I'm not saying that he's fought fights that have humbled him, but I guess life has humbled him a little bit, and he's not as braggadocious as he was before. And
you don't think so?
More,
huh?
I think that Floyd is. Floyd is more mellow than what he was previously. And the fight that made me see that, honestly, is when he fought Canelo Alvarez. Because when Canelo was like, no, I'm not going to be friends with you, I'm not going to shake your hand, I'm not going to do nothing like that, Floyd looked genuinely upset, like, really? I mean, I don't got no beef with you. He seemed like he was more... apt to be personable and not be a grandstander like Broner is. And Broner, whatever his name is.
Broner.
Again, he's a good boxer.
Adrian Broner.
He's a good boxer. But he's too flashy. And
well,
this
Vic, this guy's been flashy. You know, going way back to Joe Johnson days. This guy's been flashy all over the place, so you can't hold that against him because that's some of these guys, that's what they do. They're flashy. They got to show that's part of what they do to get themselves up. That's part of what they do to sell tickets. That's part of the whole package. So just because a guy's cocky, you can't hold that against him. Just a guy has a lot of braggadocio with him doesn't mean you got to hold that against him. That's part of the show.
Jim,
that's part of
I
the show.
It.
The great
it.
White, the great white hype. You remember Samuel Jackson? How they hyped up that fight? That's all. Was hype. It is what it is.
There's a difference in hype and a difference in, you know, the way you actually are. And this guy is this way. I mean, I know Mayweather has done some dumb things. And, you know, I've called him out on it because I just felt that they were just stupid, hitting his girlfriend, beating up his girlfriend.
Well, you don't know exactly what happened there.
Correct.
You don't know exactly what happened there. He got accused
of that. No. He was convicted.
No, wait a minute. Now, we can go this way if you want to, but He was convicted he just took the easy way out and said yes, I'll cop to it. Without fighting.
Okay.
Now he had all the money in the world. He probably could afford it if he wanted, but he didn't want to drag his family through that mess. So he decided to take the fast route and put it behind him. He's still with her.
I got that. That doesn't count for a lot in my book. But did he get convicted of it? Yes or no?
Technically, he did. Okay, you win that. You win that. Technically, he did.
Technically, I did. Okay,
technically, you win that. Well, I can't dispute it because it's on public record. Yes, he did.
All right. Okay. So therefore, you know, he's done some things like that in his life that caused me to pause and think about the type of person he is. But then he's turned that around a little bit, and he seems, in my opinion, to become more humble. So when I look at Broner, I'm like, I got this kid's young. I got it. But to perpetuate the ignorant stereotype of the black male with money and the behavior that you're untouchable and to be that way, it bothers me. It really bothers me. Now, I got it. Ali did it. Joe Johnson. I got it. All these cats were flamboyant in their own ways.
Absolutely.
But there are those moments or the times in outside of the ring when they're not promoting a fight, but they didn't do silly, dumb things. You know, I don't know the whole story of Broner or Mayweather. I mean, they might make a movie and show a sensitive side about these guys. I don't know. But that type of stuff just pushes me the wrong way. It pushes me away, to be honest, from them and the sport. I mean, I love MMA now. I actually liked what I heard, because I wasn't able to actually go to the fight, that Anderson Silva got knocked out. Because now, at the end of this month, in Las Vegas, Anderson Silva gets to fight Chris Weidman for his MMA title again. And this time, he will be serious. Because when that guy is serious, he is the most dangerous mixed martial artist I've ever seen. He got beat up.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about Adrian Broner and how braggadocious he is and you don't like it. And you look at the MMA and the type of promotion and the type of hype and the type of self-promotion these guys do, and that's okay.
Nah. Hold up, player. They are nowhere near over the top with their promotion as some of these boxers are.
Who's the judge of what level is the talking? To me, this is a double standard. It's all right for somebody from MMA to talk all kinds of crazy smack, what they're going to do and who they are, compared to what a boxer does. Maybe you can explain this to me.
I'll explain it to you from my point of view. We got about 10 minutes before we got to jump into fantasy football, so that's fine.
Okay.
My perception of boxing versus MMA by Victor Gardner, aka FSP. There are boxers in professional boxing and the amateurs that feel there is right as rain and untouchable, and their behavior inside the squared circle as well as outside the squared circle mimic that thought process, okay, within MMA. You can equate Don King to Dana White only in the fact that they're both great promoters. Dana White is a upfront, in-your-face kind of guy that will tell you exactly how he feels about you, about your sport, about your activities. He has no cut cards. That is not promoting the sport. That is not promoting him. That's not promoting Zuffa. But some people look at it as that's the way the UFC is. You have mixed martial artists who are very humble, and you have maybe one or two that are self-promoters to the point that it's borderline pro wrestling promotion. And Dana White has gone on record and said this, because when Brock Lesnar came to the UFC from the WWE, he said, no, we're not that type of promotion. We don't do that type of stuff. We don't try to sell tickets that way. Because Brock had went out and after a fight, he was cursing and acting all crazy after the fight. And Dana was like, in a post-fight, that's unacceptable. We don't tolerate that, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, Brock Lesnar came back and didn't do it anymore. Got it. Then there's this guy named Chael Sonnen, and I was getting to him when I was getting to Anderson Silva. Chael Sonnen is a very, very good fighter in MMA. He's the closest thing for promotion of the UFC to WWE that you'll get, because he's a very good talker. He's the one, he was 10 seconds away from defeating Anderson Silva in a lopsided 5-round match. I mean, he has beat Anderson Silva so bad that Anderson Silva was just like, he didn't know what to do until the last 10 seconds of the fight, where he got caught in a triangle choke, and Sonnen couldn't get out of it and tap. But you got Nate and Nick Diaz. Nate and Nick Diaz are your Broners of boxing, I mean, of
okay.
MMA.
Okay.
Now, these guys, they can scrap. They can scrap, but they are so hood. They're from this neck of the woods in Stockton, California. They are so hood. I promise you, I've seen them throw some gang signs after their fights. I'm not sure. I can't confirm it. But they are extremely talented, extremely gifted fighters. But their persona inside the octagon and outside the octagon keeps them from rising up in the UFC. Now, recently, they both scored some major victories over top-ranked opponents, and people want to see them fight, either because they want to see them get their butts kicked or they're supporters of them. So when you look at boxing and MMA, you say, okay, self-promotion, got it. You promote a fight, you do this, that, and the third, but outside of the octagon or outside the boxing ring, are you the same type of person? Some people are. Most times, I want to say 9.5 out of 10 times in MMA, they're not the same type of persona. In boxing, I can't say that, because I've seen a lot of these self-proclaimed pound-for-pound guys. You know, they give some money to charity, but then they're going to the club, making it rain and doing dumb stuff with their money, and what, 5-10 years later, went out to sport. Oh, I'm broke. Just like in the NFL, oh, I'm broke. Yeah, because you did some dumb stuff. And the thing about it is, Jerry, in every sport or in every line of work where you can get massive amounts of money and you blow it on this and you blow it on that because you've never had it before, you have those in there, such as the Spurs organization, that will tell their players, look, you need to invest. You need to think about your future. You're going to play basketball for 10 years, 12 years, maybe 15, 20 at the most, but you're retiring at 40-something years old. You still got 20, 30 years before you can get your Social Security check. So invest that money, all that money you got. That's why some of these guys go out and they buy food chains. They buy restaurants. They buy hotels. Whatever the case may be, they invest their money. I'm not saying Broner doesn't do that. I know Mayweather does, because he has several lines of income coming in streaming. But the mentality, the mindset of some of these boxers are terrible, man. To me, it is terrible. And again, like I said, I pointed out a few that are in MMA, but they're few and far between because the UFC does not allow that. They tell their folks, look, yeah, you promote your fight. Promote your fight, do what you got to do, but there's a code of conduct that you got to have inside the ring and outside the ring if you want us to, if you still want to work here. And, you know, I don't know if that's in boxing. I really don't know.
Well, you know that's not in boxing. Come on. Boxing has been the most unregulated sport for so long, and you've seen the extreme of both sides of boxers. Boxers that are extremely confident, overconfident or whatever, talk a lot of junk, say a lot of things, say a lot of outlandish things, go up against the establishment, so-called establishment of what you should say and what you shouldn't say. That's part of some boxers' persona versus others, where you see that they're humble and they just go about applying their trade. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's all in the package to me. I mean, regardless of what he does outside the ring, it's basically what he does in the ring. I mean, I understand that you can't be a total jerk and do illegal things outside the ring, but if you are bragging, talking a lot of junk, having a good time in what you're doing, because basically these guys are doing that, and you carry it outside the ring, as long as you're not doing anything illegal and that's going to be harmful to someone else, what's the harm? What's the harm? Because it's all in the hype. If you can hype yourself up, if you got something to back up, if you got a product to sell, regardless if it's boxing or whatever else, it's all in the hype. You see on commercials, some outlandish commercials, some commercials like, well, you got to be kidding me. Why are they putting this on? How crazy is that commercial? But that's a type of hype of a product. And a lot of these, and I'll equate it to commercials. A lot of these commercials are outlandish, but they have a hook. People remember that because it's outlandish. It's out of the norm of what most people would think or do, but because of that, it stands out. People recognize it. People gravitate to it. That's basically the same type of thing, with just in a different way. A boxer like Adrian Broner or Mayweather or Muhammad Ali or whoever else that's been promoting themselves in and out the ring, promote their brand because they're trying to get paid. And the more that they are out there, the more that they stir up controversy with their words and hype themselves up, people come out to see them win, and a lot of people come out to see them lose on both sides because they've hyped themselves up enough that they've created a bigger gate than would normally be, because if they were a humble guy, don't say too much, and just apply their trade. If you notice, one in a boxing match, one guy is more prominent than the other, and that leads to the hype of the whole fight for the most part. Not all the time, but for the most part, these big money fights, one guy has a huge hype machine behind him, the other guy may not. And it leads to David versus Goliath mentality. Mm-hmm. I want to see this guy get knocked off.
Well, JT, I agree with you. I mean, I'm not saying the hype machine isn't at work in either industry. However, it's how they go about it. And if an individual is going to hype a fight, fine. Hype the fight. In your personal life, I can't regulate how somebody's personal life should be. That's not me. I'm not in a state. I don't live in a country where, you know, that's mandated, that you got to live your life a certain way. But in the entirety of what it is that we're talking about here, because we're about to move on, and we've got perfect timing, actually. The Broners of boxing, take it back to Muhammad Ali, take it back to Sonny Liston, take it back to whoever you want to. In and outside of the ring, they were totally different people. In and outside of the ring. Okay? I know the kid is young, Broner, that is. And Mayweather was young at the time. Now he's like 33, 34, something like that. And he started, to me, again, he started to mature a little bit, because his promotion of his fight aren't as loud and over the top as they were in the past. I don't know what happened in his life to change him. I don't. But something did, in my opinion. Hopefully this defeat that Broner took will change him, but by his posting yesterday about his return to boxing or his comeback to boxing, we did it then boxing, the hype machine needs to say something more on the lines of, I've been humbled and I'll come back bigger and better than ever or before. That's acceptable in my eyes as far as saying, okay, look, I just got my butt whooped on national TV. I lost, and I didn't even give the guy credit afterwards at all for beating me. That's another thing. He never recognized the guy for beating him. He's not humble. So, you know,
why does he have to be humble? I'm not saying what I agree with him, but I'm saying like, why he's going to be. That's not his persona. That's not him. That's not him. He's not going to. His attitude and his persona is to display the cockiness, whether he wins or loses. Now, he didn't display the cockiness when he walked out the ring, but after the fact, now he's displaying the cockiness. Okay, he's not going to show any kind of humbleness. Okay. Well, show us what you got when you get back into the ring. You're going to talk all this talk. You better come with it. Otherwise, no one's going to be taking you seriously. Let me put it that way. You know,
I agree with you. No one's going to take him seriously. Well, some people are still taking him seriously because they think, okay, well, everybody has one bad fight. But at the same time, you know, I'd rather you show me your work in the ring than you talk about it. I'm from the show me state.
Well,
you know,
up until this point, he was undefeated. He was just showing everybody was in front of him.
He was, yes, correct. However, in the face of defeat, that's when you can tell the real character of a man by giving him power and giving him control over stuff. And when he had all this power and all this control, that's, matter of fact, that's my quote. Maybe I'm looking at, I sent out my emails. You know, after this situation, how you rise from the ashes, how you become that phoenix, to me will determine how you are as a person. You know, you don't have to impress me. I'm just somebody that may or may not buy your boxing match. I may or may not put money in your pocket. But there are a lot of people out there that are like me. There are a lot of people out there that don't care and will continue to pay to see this guy fight or whatever the case may be until, you know, he does something outrageously over the top. But I'm one of those folks to say, you know what, if you can humble yourself a little bit, you'll get my respect. You'll get my respect because you don't have to be the best person in the world. You don't have to be the worst person in the world. You don't have to be the nicest person in the world. But every knee shall bow. Okay? Every knee shall bow. Whether it's here or when it's judgment day, every knee shall bow. And if you can't, you know, bend your knee right now to anybody else in this world, to me, that's a problem. That's to me. Now, I want to move into to fantasy football real quick. But first, before I do that, because we're going to talk about the state of Louisiana and the question of Kirk Cousins versus Drew Brees. Real quickly, need about 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes, we can chat about this. Your thoughts on, and I love the show, by the way. I'm not condemning the show or nothing, and I love the guys because they are who they are. Duck Dynasty, the Duck Commander. We're talking about the father, the head of the family. What are your thoughts on his views about gays and lesbians, blacks, and stuff like that he recently put out there that's gotten him in trouble and possibly the show going goodbye?
Well, he's a good old boy. He's a Southern boy. What do you expect? Hello? He's a redneck. What do you expect?
Self-proclaimed.
Well, you know, let me put it this way. If it walks like a duck, if it acts like a duck, if it looks like a duck, what do you think it is? Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, just because that on a TV show doesn't mean that they're going to say things politically correct. And that ain't happened because they've grown up like that. They've grown, yeah. That's in their upbringing.
Correct.
You're not unless they have an epiphany. Then that's not going to change. That's not going to change. So, you know, it's a shame. This is 2013, and I always say this to my wife friends. It's a shame that we have to deal with things like this in 2013. There's so many people that are living in mixed neighborhoods. There are so many people that have mixed relationships and along with interracial kids. And there's so many crossing of racial lines nowadays that, you know, you would think that you wouldn't have this type of mentality, but it's out there and it's as strong as ever. It's as strong as ever.
JT, I'll say this. You know, he growing up in the church, you know, he grew up in the Southern church, so you know, people teach things. It's the same Bible. It's the same thing, but the interpretation is different. And, you know, his tolerance for gays and lesbians and whatever, this is his business. The one thing that struck me, and it really didn't it kind of surprised me because I'm like, they, Little Willie, I believe he's either adopted or he's half black, half something on the show. But when he mentioned that blacks were happier under Jim Crow,
yeah,
that kind of pushed me a little bit away. Like, hey, come on now, hold up. I love you. I love the show. I'm be honest. I love the fact these guys are straight up. They don't pretend. They don't do anything that they don't normally do. You know, and they don't hold it back. I'd rather have that person standing beside me, knowing that at any moment they might say something stupid about my people or whatever, than somebody that I thought was my friend or queen come out and do something dumb. But that got to me right there. And I think we got my cousin on the line, but real quick, any thoughts on that before I bring in Mike?
Say it again?
Any thoughts about the Jim Crow comment? I mean, you grew up doing
that. What'd I say, man? If it walks and acts and looks like a duck, it that's what it is. I mean, that should surprise. I don't even watch the show. I mean, I may have glanced past it a few times, but I don't watch the show because, to me, it's a bunch of rednecks. They got them on TV, just like the Honey Badger.
Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo. Whoever the heck. I mean, it poured white trash to me, man. I said this to my wife because they had a commercial on about this Honey Boo Boo or whoever she is last night. I says to her, where is it that I mean, put it this way, and I hate to go this way. I'm going to go this way. Now, if you got somebody that's in the ghetto that's black, are they going to put that show on the TV? No, you put somebody, these two sets of people, long beard rednecks for one, and then you got the Honey Boo Boo who's poor white trash, and you put them on TV, and it's a big hit. Come on. I mean, that makes no sense to me. That's garbage.
Well, you know what, Jay? Yeah, I see it like this. I'm going to let Michael talk in a second because we got to move on. But I think it's because people now in this world look at this stuff as entertaining because people are making fools of themselves. And some people can relate because, I've been in that situation or I am that way. So it sells. I'm not saying everybody does it. Like, you know, Kevin Hart's making a killing off of the Real Husbands of Hollywood fake reality TV show, but it's funny as all get out. But, I mean, because you bring up the racial issue there, but people look at Honey Boo Boo and say, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. And our society is where that stuff draws people in. And, you know, for the longest time, I never liked reality TV. But I picked up a few shows like Survivor and stuff like that I like. But, you know, it is what it is in this world. Real quick, Michael, before we move on to football, what are your thoughts on what we've been talking about for the past few minutes?
What, the Duck Dynasty, dude?
Yeah.
Not surprised.
Thank you.
Not surprised. Not surprised at all. I don't understand why these black folks get surprised when you looking at a cracker. You're looking at a redneck. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No, I'm serious. That's what it is, Victor. I can't dress it up no more. I mean, you can dress it up any way you want to. But the dude just showed you what he was.
Listen, I got what you're saying, but we only, you know, use cracker and stuff like that because that's not what we're referring to these folks as. Yeah, they call themselves rednecks. Cool. Let them call themselves rednecks. And I'm not going to call them the cracker because that's not...
Okay, you dress it up any way you want, you know what I'm saying? And that right there, you heard it, right, Jerry? You heard that.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is the problem. That's why a lot of people are surprised about this, man. If you see something that's walking down the street and it's purple, you know what I'm saying? And then you're gonna walk around and say, oh no, that's lavender. Nah, man, it's purple. It's purple.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Soon as I seen them dudes, they got the beards all the way down and the weights. I was like, nah, I can't do it. I can't watch it. There's nothing in me would allow me to watch that. I can't. I tried it. I can't. But I'm not surprised at all.
And Victor, let me interject this for one real quick minute. Reality shows, you know, I just don't get it because if you're watching TV now, they're premiering or about to premiere or promoting reality shows left and right, new type of reality shows, which is getting out of hand. It's probably been out of hand, but it's been crazy now.
No, reality shows have killed soap operas, Joe.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah. Huh? All right.
I got somebody at the door. Hold on.
Okay. I'll move on anyway. But bottom line is, Duck Dynasty on its mind right now. They've got Drew Brees going to North Carolina to take on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. And that's really going to transition right there to this game. Now, Michael, you're a Redskins fan. I'm a Redskins fan. We both play fantasy football. So does JT. A question was posed to me. If you were in your Super Bowl fantasy-wise right now, and you had a choice between Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins, who are you going to start this week to win your Super Bowl?
I'm taking Drew Brees.
I'm back.
I'm taking Drew Brees all day.
Why?
Because you don't, like I said last week, you don't know what you're getting with the Redskins. I don't care who's starting quarterback. You don't know what you get. You don't know what's going on out there in Redskin Park. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what players is going to do what. You don't know who's going to show. There's no way. If I'm in my Super Bowl, I need a commodity that I know and understand and trust.
Yep.
And I would not take Kirk Cousins. I love him. He played very well last week. You know what? I'm going to even say he played exceptional. But you know what? The results were the same. Same as Robert Griffin. Same thing. They lost. They had 7 turnovers. All kind of crazy madness was going on. Nah, same thing. Nope. Can't do it.
Okay.
Well, Victor, if you had Drew Brees on your team and you played him every week except for his bye week, and then if you're thinking about in the fantasy Super Bowl switching to Kirk Cousins, I hate to say it like this. You deserve to lose. For the simple fact is, you danced with the guy that brought you there. Okay.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees is not a quarterback. I don't care what kind of matchup that it, I understand he hasn't been playing that well, but there's a lot on the line in this game. The division title is in this game. Division rivalry is in this game. You know Carolina's going to come back at them, and they haven't been playing well on the road. I understand that. But just like McCall says, Kirk Cousins is the backup. He got thrust into the starting role because they wanted to sit Robert Griffin. He's a backup for a reason. I keep saying this. He's a backup for a reason. Just because he had one good week doesn't mean that's going to equate to another good week, even though it's an ideal scenario because he's playing against Dallas. I understand that. But to sit Kirk Cousins in your fantasy Super Bowl, I mean, to sit Drew Brees in your fantasy Super Bowl and replace him with Kirk Cousins, there's no way on God's earth I would do that. There's no way I would do that. Because if Drew Brees sits on the bench and he goes off and Kirk Cousins doesn't play that well, he puts you gives you decent numbers, but he doesn't play that well, and you lose, you're going to say, you know what, I should have put Drew Brees. He brought me here. I wouldn't be here without Drew Brees, and I sit him when I should have played him the most.
You know what?
I'm playing Drew Brees.
And you know what, too, Victor? You know what, too? The emotional attachment or the emotional scar that you would have for starting Kirk Cousins over Drew Brees would be deeper than if you started Drew and not started Kirk Cousins. It'll hurt more.
Absolutely. I'm not gonna play that what it coulda shoulda game. There's no way.
Oh, here we go. Here's what we got.
You're very low, Victor. I can hardly hear you.
Hold on. I think it's my cousin. There we go. All right, Michael. I had to mute you for a second. But the bottom line is that this is a hot topic that's going on in Facebook right now. I was saying, as I said before, the chasing situation. And he's actually sitting Drew Brees for Kirk Cousins. Now, matchup-wise, I'm looking at the numbers, because numbers don't lie, right? Numbers don't lie. Your feelings can lie. People can lie, but numbers don't. Drew Brees on the road has thrown 11 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Drew Brees does not fare well in away games this year. Don't know the statistics. Last week was a shocker, where St. Louis totally demolished the Saints' offense. I don't know what happened to it. They played Carolina at home a couple weeks ago on Monday night and won 31-13. We had a caller last week that, you know, that was saying this. I forget his name. I believe it was Don or something like that. And he said, just wait. Drew Brees isn't going to do well, and the Saints aren't going to be well on the road, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? He was right. I even said it. Like I was about Matt Asiata.
I don't care.
I pat myself on the back. Oh, you don't care.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about all that. But I care about it. He's Drew Brees. You wouldn't be in the fantasy Super Bowl if it wasn't for Drew Brees. Why would you be dumb and sit him in a Super Bowl? You're trying to overthink it. You're trying to overanalyze it. In my opinion, that you play Drew Brees, so you don't have the thought like, well, I bring my stud quarterback in the game, so I don't think I sat him because I want to put Kirk Cousins, who had a decent game last week, And this game, he's playing home and he's playing against Dallas. But there's no guarantee that he's gonna show out like he showed last week. There's no guarantee of that. For the most part, I know what I'm getting when I get with Drew Brees. I know what I'm getting with Drew Brees. Okay? He had a bad week. He had a bad couple times on the road. That doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time. For the most part, Drew Brees is more consistent, in my opinion, than Kirk Cousins. There is no way. I can't believe anybody has this conversation. They're overthinking it.
I want you to listen to this because we got a call. I believe it's our caller from last week. But if you look at the numbers and you look at the consistency of it, it has some validity. Now, would I do it? Looking at the matchups, looking at one of the worst passing defenses versus the second best defense of the NFL, looking at where they're playing, looking at what's on the line for both matchups, I could actually consider it. However, I'd have to wait up until game time to make my decision. Only because I got to see what the conditions are like in FedEx Field and what they're like in South Carolina. But hold on, we got a call. We got a call from
Your analysis
going to
get you in trouble.
I believe it's a caller we had from last week from the 360. Welcome, Frank Sports Podcast. You're calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com phone line. Please state your name.
You already know who it is. It's the Rev, baby.
Oh, Lord. This is
what's up, Rev? Hey, Rev. Oh, Rev. I'm sure glad you're here.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, brother. We had this debate at our real shop this past week, and you know what? As much as it pains me to kind of side with FSP, it's worth listening to what he's talking about, man. I'm a little torn. I know Drew Brees is going to wing it, you know, 40, 50 times a game, but there's something about that Dallas defense, man. They just nothing. So when you're talking about Kirk Cousins putting up 300 yards last week, and then he's going against some bums this week, it's intriguing, you know what I mean? But I don't know if I'd be willing to put my fantasy freaking, you know, season in jeopardy in Kirk Cousins' hands. I don't know if I'll be willing to do that.
Hold on. You are actually doing that, though. On your championship, Kirk Cousins is one of your quarterbacks that you're starting. Name the three or four quarterbacks you have on your team and explain why you have Kirk Cousins as one of your starters.
No, I'm working with freaking on my fantasy team that we're currently in. You know, I thought it was a plus this year, but I got Kaepernick, I got Alex Smith, and then I thought I had a solid one when I had RG3, but I had to let him go. I picked up Cousins, and I got Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'm working between who I want to start this week, Fitzpatrick, Alex Smith, or do I want to start Kirk Cousins? FSC would want you to believe I should start Kirk Cousins. I'm leaning towards that, but I have a heartburn with putting my championship aspirations in Kirk Cousins' hands. You know what I mean?
I understand that, especially when the weather is supposed to be showers, and the wind gusts are supposed to be.
Jerry, also, between Ryan Fitzpatrick's coming off a 400-yard day, and he's playing Jacksonville, which intrigues me too. You know what I mean? I don't want to put my hand. I'm confused here. Usually, I'm the expert, and I'm the one that's usually giving the advice, but I'm really heartbroken this week, and I'm kind of torn who I should go with. So.
Well, who is Fitzpatrick playing this week?
Jacksonville.
In Jacksonville?
I think they're at home this week.
No, they're in Jacksonville.
Are they in Jacksonville?
Yes.
He's playing Indianapolis at Indy.
I would go Kirk Cousins in your situation.
Wow.
Well, we know he needs to start two.
Just in his situation. But I wouldn't take. I couldn't do it over Drew Brees. I couldn't.
Yeah, Drew Brees, that's a rough one, bro. I mean, you already know, at a minimum, this guy's going to throw for for two touchdowns at a minimum. He's going to throw for, on a bad day, 200-plus yards. You know what I mean? So, I'm not breaking the Kool-Aid with Carolina defense. They can get the ball can be scored on them. You know what I mean? So.
Well, here's what we're doing. Here's what we're doing. Because the topic was, start Breeze over Cousins. But let's look at other situations. You know, we've got all these matches going on this week in the NFL. Week 16, which are pretty much championship matchups. Would someone start Tannehill going against Buffalo secondary? Would somebody start Andy Dalton against Minnesota's defense? You know, if they had to choose between Drew Brees and Andy Dalton, would somebody start, like you said, Fitzpatrick going against Jacksonville? Even looking at Matt Stafford against the Giants secondary, or Russell Wilson versus Arizona. You even got Tom Brady going against Baltimore secondary.
Why don't you break down each one of these? Okay, Tom Brady against going against Baltimore in Baltimore with the weapons he has now compared to what he had before. Gronk got hurt.
I know where you're going.
In my opinion, I would look for a better alternative because I don't think Tom Brady's going to have a good day tomorrow.
But
I really don't.
Hey, that's what I'm saying, Jerry. That's what I'm getting to with these intriguing issues.
Wait a minute. But listen to this.
Go ahead.
Who has the better weapons right now, Tom Brady or Drew Brees?
We're not talking about Drew Brees right now. We're just talking about
okay.
in general. What I'm saying is people that have ridden their quarterbacks all year long, right? But now you're looking at the situation because just because all your weapons are gone or one of your weapons are gone doesn't mean you aren't still the quarterback.
Well,
that means you have to rely on other people. But
well,
the same deal happens.
Each quarterback situation is different. Each quarterback situation is different.
Correct.
Okay, so you have to take that situation and analyze it from that. So if you have Drew Brees, and this original conversation was, would you take Kirk Cousins or Drew Brees? Look at the weapons. Look at the weapons and look at the quarterback and the team, the offensive side of the team, and who has the better chance of putting up the best numbers. And that's obviously, in my opinion, New Orleans.
No, Kirk Cousins, because if you're going to
because they're going against the Dallas defense, you got to understand something. You have to understand something. That's a division rivalry there. So that ramps it up that much more. Kirk Cousins doesn't guarantee that he's going to have the same type of week he had last week, even though Dallas is such a bad defense. And the rain and the wind is going to be gusting up at 28 miles an hour in inclement weather in Washington. So and Kirk Cousins doesn't have a strong arm. So,
but listen to what you just said earlier about looking for a different player for Tom Brady because he lost Gronk. But his situation is this: it's very similar to Drew Brees. Okay, you're going against somebody that you have a big issue with because remember, if New England wins this game, they get the number two seed. They're
Listen.
They get to be the number two seed. They get a bye week. Okay? They have the opportunity to put an end to one of their rivals making it to the playoffs because if they beat Baltimore, they're on the outside looking in and need help. Okay? Drew Brees and Baltimore doesn't have that bad of a defense. Actually, because the defense has been keeping them in games as opposed to their offense. But you go to Carolina and New Orleans, Drew Brees, he hasn't lost a lot of his weapons, but he has not been particularly good on the road this year. And you're going against a very solid defense who is a division rival, who knows how to play. The weather's going to be very similar in Carolina that it is going to be in D.C.,
yeah,
okay.
But Drew Brees has a better arm with better weapons than Kirk Cousins does.
Listen. I'm trying to make the comparison not just with those two. I'm saying in the NFL Week 16, you ride a quarterback all year long, and you have an opportunity to pick up somebody that might have a better week or should based upon who they're playing and their situation. There's the thought process is, oh, wow, do I sit Drew Brees? Do I sit
Hell no.
Tom Brady? Do I sit
somebody else? Each quarterback situation is different. Tom Brady didn't play that well last week. He played in Miami, and he did not play that well last week against that Miami defense. So now he's going back on the road. He's going back on the road.
So
he's going against a team that he's played against before and has mixed results. And for the most part.
So is Drew Brees. Same thing.
Wait a minute. But the simple fact is this. Drew Brees has better weapons. He has more options. He has better weapons to go to versus Tom Brady. Now he does.
No, he doesn't. He has Marquise Colston.
What?
He's got Marquise Colston that is turning up. And like I said last week, Marquise Colston has turned it on the past couple weeks.
For a reason.
Listen, I got you. You got Jimmy Graham, and you got the 25th ranked run offense. Darren Sproles is a non-factor. He has been all year. Okay? So let's look at what Brady has. Brady has Shane Vereen, who's their version of Darren Sproles. Okay? You got a tight end. Granted, yours has a better tight end situation. Way better tight end situation because Jimmy Graham is the best tight end in football right now. Okay? Receivers. Got it. Dobson is down. What's that other guy? Tompkins. Tompkins is iffy. But he has Edelman, who stepped up. And you also have Danny Amendola, who's pretty secure at being a receiver. Drew Brees has one solid receiver, and that's Marquise Colston.
I am not understanding what my cousin is talking about tonight.
Okay.
Come on, Vic.
Just be quiet and listen. Just be quiet and listen, and I'll tell you. All right. If you're talking about weapons, Drew Brees, together with Colston, Jimmy Graham, and the 26th-ranked run offense, have a lesser set of skills or weapons than Tom Brady has with Amendola, Edelman, Vereen, Baldwin, and what's my guy? And LeGarrette Blount. Based upon what they like to do, because we've seen New England win a game running the ball. We've seen them do that. We haven't seen New Orleans win a game running the ball. Yes, they got Pierre Thomas. Yes, they've got Mark Ingram, but they have not won a game based upon their run game. Now, their defenses, I would give that to New Orleans because I like what Rob Ryan has done with the defense. But for whatever reason, on the road, the defense and the offense of New Orleans does not show up the way they normally do at home. Now, Brady, I don't like him, and I agree with you. I would find a different alternative. If I had Andy Dalton and Tom Brady, I would start Andy Dalton this week because he's going to this Minnesota season. What in the world? What's going on? Anyway, that's what I'm saying, that if you're going to talk about the weapon set and all this other stuff, Jerry,
there's no way.
You're right. You're right about Brees having a strong arm than Cousins, but if you're going to say you would bench Tom Brady and find a different option, I would say based upon everything you mentioned, weather, weapons, and everything else, Drew Brees could be benched as well for Kirk Cousins given the situation.
No way.
I mean that's just being observant of what is going on on both sides. Let me let the Reverend in. Go ahead, Reverend, go ahead.
Hey, Vic, I'm with you, bro. This is Rev. I'm with you, man. But you think about Baltimore usually plays they usually play the pack.
You got regardless.
They play a tough. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I see where you're going with the options when you're talking about Brady. I mean, there's a lot of options there. But I don't think there's one option that's going to overwhelm Baltimore. I think their defense is solid enough where they can hang in that game. So, I would say still the upside is with Drew Brees. Just because you know, go with a sure thing, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you know Drew Brees, like we talked about. On an off day, he's going to throw two touchdowns. You know, he's going to have over 250 yards on an off day. You know, and don't get me wrong, Carolina's defense is solid. But I think when you spread them out, I think there's some matchups there. I don't think I like some favorable matchups. Colson's finally playing some ball now, you know. And Jimmy Graham's a nightmare. So, and like I said, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid on Carolina's defense quite yet. So I think the possibility for Drew Brees to get a big game and with the division on the line, I'm putting my money on Drew Brees.
That's fine. I got you, because I'll tell you like this. When they played Seattle and they were in Seattle, Drew Brees threw for 167 yards.
Yeah, we're talking about Seattle in Seattle. We're not talking about Carolina in Carolina.
I got you. Seattle's the number one defense. Carolina is the number three defense. Okay? So we're talking about similar situations here. One is in Seattle, one's in Carolina. That's pretty much the weather's going to be very similar, except there's going to be wind gusts and possible snow in Carolina, whereas it was raining and it was cold up in Seattle.
No one's beaten Seattle in Seattle in the last two seasons.
I've got that. That's another difference. But what I'm saying is you're talking about the number one defense and the number three defense.
Okay.
Playing at home, both of them, with decent offenses, okay? So, I mean, I'm not saying, and again, ladies and gentlemen, this is just a comparison conversation here. We're not saying go out and find a replacement for Drew, or I'm not saying go out and find a replacement for Drew Brees, or go out and find a replacement for Tom Brady. So I'm in a situation where I'm in a league where I have Andy Dalton and Drew Brees. I'm starting Andy Dalton over, I mean, not Drew Brees.
Are you
Andy
serious?
Dalton, Andy Dalton over Tom Brady, because I have Andy Dalton going against Minnesota's porous defense versus Tom Brady going against Baltimore. And I don't like the matchup because I do believe Baltimore's defense, especially knowing the history between these two clubs over the past 4 years or so, that's not a gimme for Brady to have a good game.
Well,
historically,
Victor,
he doesn't.
Victor,
historically,
like I said, every quarterback situation is different. Where is Andy Dalton playing at?
He's playing in Minnesota. No, I think he's playing at home. He's playing
at home. Andy Dalton plays a lot better at home than he does on the road.
Yeah,
absolutely,
right.
A lot better.
And so
okay.
Does
well, no. See, but there's a different. See, the difference is this: it's a different caliber of quarterback that I'm talking about. Drew Brees, just like Rev said, can on an off day, even if it's on the road, give you 250 yards and two touchdowns. Andy Dalton on the road can't give you that on an off day. You follow what I'm saying? And he's playing at home. So that's the difference when I'm saying the quarterback situation. Andy Dalton's playing against an inferior opponent, a dome team, playing in cold Cincinnati, and he's playing home. Drew Brees is playing a division opponent. I understand that. But it's not somebody he hasn't seen before. He knows this. He wore him out 2 weeks ago. How much different is it going to be? I understand. I'm not going to say he's going to wear him out, but how much difference is it going to be versus New Orleans playing in Carolina? I lay my money on Drew Brees every day of the week versus Andy Dalton.
Hey,
that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think it's Cincinnati.
I think in – I'm from Ohio. The conditions are shitty. So I think they're going to be pounding the ball this week, especially against Minnesota. Andy Dalton, like we said, he can't just show up and throw for 300 yards like Drew Brees. He can't do that. That's not what he – their offense ain't meant for that. You know, this year they've opened it up a little more, but you see Andy Dalton struggles. So he might throw for 300 yards – but that's not what he is. That's how
he's inconsistent.
I'm thinking it's going to be a lot of Chris Green Ellis and Giovanni Bernard this week for them in crappy conditions. You know what I mean? Why not? You know? And then play action pass it to Marvin Jones and guys like A.J. Green. You know, that would only set up his opportunities. But I think they're going to be pounding the rock this week. You already know it, New Orleans. It's pass, 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 and then they go to the run. So I just look between the lines, and like you said, if I got to put my money on something, I'm going with a sure thing, or I'm going to go with Drew Brees.
It's just unbelievable to sit here and listen to my cousin just talk himself into some nonsense. I mean, I just sat here. I just sat here and listened to you talk about the entire. You talked about the Patriots offense. You know what I'm saying? Over the New Orleans, you the same dude that was just going in on the Patriots earlier this year. Same dude.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, just unreal. You are just unreal with your analysis, man.
No.
Nothing wrong with your judgment, cuz.
Your
analysis is just terrible.
They have won by running the ball. That's what I said. And I said New Orleans has yet to win a game by
just
the run game.
Victor, you can talk it any way you want. What I'm saying to you is you talking yourself into a dead end, Slim. You really are.
Man.
You really
are.
And it really amplifies that analysis stuff I keep saying about you. But there's no way, there's absolutely no way that I'm not going – put Drew Brees out there. I mean, you talk about one of the top five quarterbacks arguably in the league. Nah, man.
Okay.
Nah. I'm in the Super Bowl? Nah. I'm going to have to roll the dice with him. I'm going to be like, oh, if he had a bad day, then that's just it. He had a bad day. But
exactly.
At least I put
my big gun out there and rolled my big gun.
You put your big boy pants on and put the big boys out there. You know, Kirk. I like Kirk. I really do like Kirk. You know what I'm saying? But you just don't know what you're going to get with the Redskins, man. I understand the thing that you're saying about, you know, Dallas' defense and, you know, the probability of him hitting. And it is high. But you still banking on the Redskins, man. This is our mom, Slim. No. I can't do it.
That's fine. Listen, I've been the lone wolf many, many times. And as I said earlier this week to Jerry and to the Reverend, 80% of the time I've been alone and right. Just like Matt,
I meant to call you out last week when you said that mess about you, you know, most of the time you be right and all this nonsense.
There's
about 20 different things that you have been wrong on. You just ain't been called out. So now I see. Somebody got to call you out on your wrong stuff.
Listen, I didn't say I was never wrong. I just said 80% of the time I'm right.
Ain't nobody called you out. That's all. 80% of that time, nobody called you out. That's all.
If you need to toot your own horn, man, freaking, then we got issues. You know what I mean? Let's hang out.
You're absolutely right.
Victor. We have a matchup on the line that is put up or shut up. And you know what? I'm going to piggyback on that with your friend, Mr. Van. I bet you he don't beat me this week.
Oh, I don't care. Hey, I want you to beat Van, but I think Van's going to win. But I put it this way, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry and I, Jerry currently owes me $50 over a long string of bets we have. And it's gone back and forth, but right now I'm on top. And we're playing in the constellation. Because he lost in one of the championships, and I won in this other league. We're playing each other. So anyway, the bottom line is, if one Texan to another, and I'm not a Texan, but that's the name of Jerry's team, versus Mr. FSP to you. Now, this is a very, it's a game or a matchup that could go either way, but I strongly see a chance for Jerry to win. However, I'm never going to doubt my team. Never, ever, 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 ever. And we're going to go over this real quick since he wanted to bring it up. Right now, the series is 1-1. Week 1, Jerry beat me. Week 8, I beat him. And the matches are as follows. And he really has a mob or a team that's really pretty daggone good. Matthew Stafford, Shady McCoy, Jamal Charles, Roddy White, Jordy Nelson, Jimmy Graham, Carlos Dansby, Perry Riley, Brandon Flowers, the Lions defense, and Phil Dawson. Going up against currently Andy Dalton, D'Angelo Williams, Matt Forte, Josh Gordon, Keenan Allen, Vernon Davis, Luke Kuechly, Vontaze Buford, Eric Weddle, the Browns defense, and Robbie Gould. Currently, the projected score is 186-182. Real quick, I know that my cousin can be impartial at times, so I'm going to go to him first on what I just said, and then I'm going to go to the Reverend and see what he says about our matchup.
I didn't hear all, I didn't. I wasn't paying attention to all the names that you dropped.
Okay. One team. This is one team, okay? I'll tell you one team. Matthew Stafford, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, Roddy White, Jordy Nelson, Jimmy Graham, Carlos Dansby, Perry Riley, Brandon Flowers, the Lions defense, and Phil Dawson. That's one team.
What was the last one? What was the last one?
Phil Dawson, the kicker for San Francisco. On the other side, you have Andy Dalton, D'Angelo Williams, Matt Forte, Josh Gordon, Keenan Allen, Vernon Davis, Luke Kuechly, Vontaze Buford, Eric Weddle, the Browns defense, and Robbie Gould. Currently, those are the matchups.
I like that first team. I like the first team better.
Okay. Why do you like them better?
It's just a stronger team. I mean, it's just a stronger mob. I don't like the Browns defense over the Lions defense. The Lions defense ain't that good, but I don't like it. I don't like the Browns defense over it. I don't like that. That's iffy. But I would lean to the Lions on that one. The wide receivers, the quarterback, running back. They're stacked on that team. They stacked on that team. It's stacked.
Oh, yeah. I agree. There was a change. D'Angelo Williams has been replaced with Ryan Matthews and possibly MJD. I'm not sure which one it was, but I think it's Ryan Matthews. But that's fine. Reverend, what you got?
Hey, FSP. I think, well, to me, that's almost a pick 'em right there to me. It's pretty even. Initially when you were talking, I was leaning towards Team A just because I started the names you were talking about, Stafford, you know, the situations at running back with McCoy. But then when you said Team B, I mean, Josh Gordon, the guy's right now the best, you know, hottest receiver going in the league. I mean, Vernon Davis, I think he's going to have a monster game this week. That's almost a wash to me, man. Like, honestly, it'd be tough for me to pick who, because both are where I see the weaknesses are at on one team, the other team has, you know, pros to their cons. So, to me, I can understand. You said the projection was, what, 186 to 182?
Yeah, but now that Ryan Matthews has been swapped out for D'Angelo Williams, it's 193 to 186.
I don't
think so. You got to think, Ryan Matthews could have a monster day. He's playing the Raiders, bro. I think all four of us, five of us, can run for 100 yards against the Raiders and two touchdowns. So, that's what I'm saying. In a weird way, I hate to go against the grain, but I kind of like Team B, man. I think, even though it might not have the bigger names, I think the possibility for bigger paydays are there. You know what I mean? Even though we talked about Andy Dalton, that could be a payday. You know what I mean? That could be a payday. Even though, Stafford, he's like Tony Romo. He's going to put up numbers, but when big games, they need it from him. He's going to choke. So, like last week, one touchdown, three picks, So, that's a tough one, man. But like I said, I would go with Team B, man. If I had to pick one, I would go with Team B.
Rev, I can see that we are definitely on the same wavelength here. You just helped me throw out the line. I'm going to reel him in right now.
No, listen. Hey, Jay, we already made the deal for.
We can bump it up a little bit if you like.
No, listen. I already know that Team A happens to be Jerry's team. Team B happens to be my team. I'm looking at the
matchup. Well, in that case, I like Team A then.
Oh, really?
Okay. All right. Hey, dude, the guy put me as the Reverend of Fantasy because I descend on FSP, baby. That's what I do.
Really? Well, that's a problem, Reverend, because I told you need to go before the church and repent. I already told you need to repent for your sins for your church congregation.
Hey, I'm going to repent when I'm pulling up that trophy at the end of the year. That's all right.
Like I did. I mean, it's always good to be the second person to hold the trophy when the first person has done it already. It's all good. But anyway, so we got that deal. As far as you and Van going, Jerry, I know you're just trying to get your money back.
I mean, you think that he's going to win? I beg to differ.
No,
but I'm just trying to,
No, what I said
make him a little bit more interesting.
What I said was that the winner between you and he, I think, will win the league. That's what I think. That the winner between you and Van will win the league. It's a very close matchup, in my opinion. For some reason, this year, Van has a very consistent team. And he's going with Kirk Cousins currently over who's his regular starting quarterback? Because I know it's not Kirk Cousins. Let me look at his regular starting quarterback. And you're going with Ryan Tannehill. So, that's a good matchup there. But
I'm second on thoughts on that because of the fact is the Buffalo Bills have been pretty stout against the starting quarterbacks in the last few weeks, and I'm having second thoughts on Ryan Tannehill. So
I don't know.
There's a few directions that I'm thinking about going other than Ryan Tannehill. I have a little bit to think about it, less than 24 hours to think about it. So I may change it out. I may keep it. The weather in Buffalo is not supposed to be ideal. It's supposed to be rainy, and I think some wind also. So
I would think about it, Jerry. I don't like the Tannehill matchup. But.
Yeah, I don't either. So that's why I've been thinking about it. I looked at it earlier today. I said, you know what? There's a couple of options I have sitting on a waiver wire. I'm going to check them out and see exactly what I want to go and roll with that. I mean, took a shot with Ryan Tannehill last week. And he showed out, but I don't want to press my luck for the second week, especially against their division rival, and the division rival is playing home, and Ryan Tannehill. So.
Miami's playing for something, bro. So I mean, you never know, like you said. But to catch lightning in a bottle twice in a 2 weeks in a row, that's
Yeah.
Unless you've been saying your prayers, I don't know. The Reds gets those kind of breaks. I don't know about all the.
Two things, guys. We got 5 minutes left on air, and we had a caller from the 302. I want to get this caller on the air real quick before we go off live there. Call from the 202-351. Please state your name. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. You are calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino Sportsandpolitics.com hotline. Please state your name.
How you doing? My name is Sean.
Vic, what's happening? Now, hold on, let me set this up right. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Lee is my dude. This is the individual that actually posted the question on Facebook about Cousins versus Brees. Now, Sean, I want you to just listen to what they have to say about your decision, and then I'm going to open it up back to you to respond to each one of them, okay? So
okay.
Sit tight, hold on, and when they're done, I'm going to put you back on the air to talk to them. All right, so JP,
no problem.
You go first. You let Sean know what you think, then I'm going to go with my cousin Mike, then I'm going to go with the Reverend, and then I'm going to bring Sean on. Go ahead, JP.
It's a bad move. You have your stud, Drew Brees. He brought you to where you're at right now. Don't put him on the bench. He may go off. He went off with Carolina 2 weeks ago. I understand that it was in New Orleans. But it's Drew Brees, and how much different is he going to be playing Carolina? I understand it's a division rival. I understand it's a big game. That means big game. Big guys show up in big games, and I think Drew Brees on an off day against Carolina can throw for 250 yards and two touchdowns, just like Red said. You don't know what you're going to get with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is showed out pretty well last week. I know it's an ideal situation because it's the Dallas Cowboys, but you got a proven commodity in Drew Brees. Go with the beat DB, or DB, I should say.
All right, Mike.
Look, I am a diehard Washington Redskins fan. I mean, a real Redskins fan. You know what I'm saying? I would not go with Kirk Cousins because you just don't know what you're getting with the Redskins. It looked like an ideal situation, and the probabilities is nice, but as the Redskins are operating under Murphy's Law, anything that can't go wrong will go wrong, and you will get that sting from that if you deal with him this week. You know, it's the Cowboys, man. The Cowboys play good up here. You throw all that stuff out the window when you got the Skins and the Cowboys. I definitely wouldn't do it. I would go with Drew Brees. And then something I said earlier, you know, the emotional sting that you're going to have if Kirk Cousins has a bad game, you know, and Drew Brees has a good game, that sting is going to hurt more than if you went with, you know, Drew Brees and he had a bad day and Kirk had a good day. So, nah, I wouldn't do it.
All right, Rev, go ahead. Open the scripture, Reverend.
Sorry, brother. The Rev was doing a little communion over here, so.
Communion, okay.
All right, so like I said, man. Well, I think everybody that's talking, man, they're saying the same thing. Go with what you know. Why would you want to roll the dice? Go with Drew Brees. It's a proven thing. Even if you crash and burn, you're going with a sure thing. You can walk away saying, I put my money on Drew Brees. Kirk Cousins, it's like brother walking through the Sahara Desert. You think you see a water hole out there, and the more you think it's good looking, and you think you're getting closer, the further it's moving away. And once you get there, you realize it's not there. It's fool's gold. Even though it's an ideal matchup, if I was pressed to play Kirk Cousins like I am in my league, I would go with it. But when we're talking about Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins, we don't even need to have this conversation. Drew Brees all the way.
All right, well, Sean, I'm going to ride with you. It's that Crimson Tide pride that's going to make it ride. Now, listen, my thought process is a little different from theirs. I actually think about the entire situation that you're going through here. They're all right. If Brees took you to the championship and you feel that loyalty and you think that he can keep you going, that way than do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we got 30 seconds left of live air. We're going to continue in overtime. Catch us in the archive after the show. Do exactly what you said. If you missed anything, come back. blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK and look for this program. We're going to finish this up in overtime. We're going to overtime in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, overtime. Okay. Back to what I was saying, Sean. I agree with you. I'm looking at Drew Brees' history on the road this year. Last away game was in Seattle against the number one defense, 167 total yards, 3 interceptions, 1 touchdown. Was not a good game for him. Last week, they were also on the road, I'm sorry, and they went to St. Louis. Threw for 318 and 1 touchdown. But it was because they were so far behind that they couldn't do anything else. Earlier on, I said that when you compare situations such as Brady and the Patriots going to Baltimore, Jerry had mentioned that Brady has less weapons. And I said, no, Actually, Drew has less weapons because Colson and Graham are the only two real people that he consistently throws to. Darren Sproles is not reliable. Their run game between Pierre Thomas and Mark Ingram isn't that great. They're the 26th ranked run offense, whereas New England, not that much better. I think they're like the 20th, but Brady has more weapons available for him. And Amendola, Edelman, Shane Vereen, Brandon Bolden, LeGarrette Blount, and a couple other players. My suggestion to you is if you're not going to go with Brees and you have Cousins, I would look for somebody that has a weaker opponent, such as Andy Dalton going against Minnesota. Nick Foles threw for 430-some yards versus that defense last week. They lost, but he threw for 400 and some change versus them. So Andy Dalton at home. And Jerry, and we all agree that Andy Dalton's a way better quarterback at home. I'm not going to say he's going to throw for 4 Bills, but he has a better chance. I can understand your consternation in starting Drew Brees and putting in Kirk Cousins, because you're looking at the weather conditions. Both of them are going to be playing in bad weather. That's a given. Both D.C. and Carolina are going to have terrible weather. The difference is one has the number 3 ranked defense, run and pass defense, versus one that has, I believe, the 30th ranked defense or the 27th ranked defense, giving up 500-plus yards per game in that cover two. The Redskins go off of play action. So my cousin, you never know what you're going to get with them. You never know, because they might decide to run Alfred Morris. They might throw the ball. If you saw the game in Atlanta, they ran the ball to set up the pass. Alfred fumbled the ball twice. They had 7 turnovers, but Kirk Cousins threw for 320, I think 2 or 3 touchdowns, but he also had 2 or 3 turnovers by himself. So that's the downside of starting Kirk. He might give you a few turnovers, but he also might throw for good yards, and he might have a few touchdowns. But I understand your side, and I agree with you, and I'm going to bring you back on to address each and every last one of us. You just start with Jerry, my cousin Mike, the Reverend, and me. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, now. Okay. The decision was not so much as an indictment on Brees. No way. He's been my starter all year. The only time I sat him is when he sat himself on the bye week. But, you know, as playing the GM role for a fantasy league, you got to pick your best option that you have available for you per that week. So every week we flip-flopping things in and out. I just feel like against a division rival, Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, Carolina has everything to play for. I mean, they have the world to play for. They're playing for a first-round playoff game. So everything's riding on this game for Carolina, so to speak. And Drew Brees coming down there into their territory, that's even more because it's a division rival. Now, you come on the outside, the NFC East, the Redskins, I mean, this is,
for layman's term, this is our Super Bowl. Not only do we want to beat Dallas, we want to stop them from making it to the playoffs. And
yeah,
I just
buddy.
Believe that, huh?
I said, yeah, buddy.
I just believe that 300 to 350 will be a given for Kirk Cousins. Now, the turnovers, I am skeptical. I just hope that he doesn't come out there and give me three like he did last week. But I think 300, 350 is easy. 2 to 3 touchdowns is a given. Okay? Also, the last little aspect of it, Shanahan, whether you agree with it or not, and I'm not saying I do or don't, but Shanahan is intent on giving this I told you so type moment or I told you so type game with Cousins. He's going to let that boy air it out. He's going to say, see, it wasn't the quarterback that messed my system up. It wasn't my system that didn't work. It was just we didn't have the right pocket passer in there passing it. Okay? I just think that Captain Kirk, is going to show out against Cowboys, man. I do. I really do. He may throw a pick, one, I hope, if he's going to throw one. But I just think at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, the point total, he's going to best Drew Brees. I think so.
Well, you do me this favor, Sean. When whatever happens, yay or nay, with Kirk Cousins, you rolling with him in the Super Bowl versus Drew Brees, I need you to call back next Saturday and let us know what happened.
Okay, so listen, just for a disclaimer, that's just for this week, though, okay? That's just for this week, okay?
No disrespect, but you drinking Kool-Aid. I done heard you all week. People like you all week saying the same thing, man. I get where you're coming from with the Shanahan trying to do the I told you so, but his I told you so was supposed to be last week. The problem is he got a push right now. You know what I'm saying? Griffin and Kirk is at the same spot because they're getting the same result. So I expect the same type of result from the game, you know, this week from Dallas. The same type of results that I would get that I've been getting from Griffin all week. It'll be the same thing from Kirk. You know, a couple of different things because Kirk is a different quarterback, but the results won't be the same. But
listen, I'm not making an argument if Kirk or Griffin is one is better than the other. I'm not making that argument. I'm speaking solely for this one game.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. You still don't know what you're going to get with it. And I just think you're drinking a little bit of that Kool-Aid. You need to leave that alone.
I'm going to need you to call in next week so we can have a talk. I'm going to tell you how much sugar was in that Kool-Aid, okay?
Now listen.
Hold up. Just so we're clear. I'm not worried. Well, I do want the Redskins to win, but as far as fantasy-wise, I can care less if Kirk win or lose. I'm all about the point total, okay? Just so we can.
Right, but I feel you on that. If you take Kirk, the entire Redskins, Slim, that's the problem. That's the whole problem. You take Kirk, you take the Redskins and all that.
Well, listen, let's move away from that.
Okay.
Sean, Sean, thanks for calling in, bro.
Thank you, man.
Hey, ain't no problem. Next week, you're the spotlight, okay? I'm telling you, you're the spotlight. So next Saturday, 1 p.m., get ready to call in the show and answer to the music or stomp on some people's faces. You know, like
next Saturday at 1 p.m. Vic, you make sure you send me a reminder, all right?
I got you, dog. I got you. So,
all right, man.
Thanks for the topic. We appreciate it.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys. Y'all take care, man. Good luck with y'all fantasy.
Same to you, my man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was my guy, high school classmate, football player, teammate, Sean the Flicker, getting some help from us about his fantasy.
Hey, Vic. As soon as I heard his voice, And how he was talking, I was like, oh, yeah, he a D.C. dude. He drinking Kool-Aid.
D.C., baby, D.C. all the way. But listen, we didn't get a chance to go over the NFL schedule, which is fine because I wanted to make this a purely fantasy show. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Master Plan, along with his co-host, Reverend Fantasy, we'll be talking about what, JT?
We're going to be talking about the same type of matchup we've been talking about today. Should you sit your studs if you think you got a better matchup with someone else? We're going to be talking about that. We're going to go down each and every game, just like we did last week and the week before. This is championship time, so that's what we're going to be talking about.
Also, we're going to give some shout out tomorrow to even though it's gonna kill me to say this, we do have to give a shout out to the guy who pays the paychecks, Mr. FSP, for calling the fantasy pick of the week with Matt Aristotle or whatever the hell this guy's name is.
Asiata.
On his 30 carry, 51 yard, 3 touchdown performance. So just all our listeners be aware that we are gonna be praising Mr. FSP tomorrow on that. I promised him I would, instead of bashing him like I always do, that he would get my 5-star pick of the week. And so make sure all our listeners, you're dialed in for the Master Plan tomorrow with DJT and the Rev. And, hey, guys, it's been fun. I got to run. I got to go get up, pick up some church supplies and get ready for tomorrow. So JT, my brother, from another mother, we'll see you tomorrow, bro.
All right, my man. Take care.
All right.
Later, Fantasy. I'm right over right about. So, Monday, I believe we're going to do a rerun of Timeout. Sylvia's still dealing with some issues. Hopefully, we'll get back on the air soon. I hate to see her, go away because of her situation. But we'll have her as soon as she's ready to come back. Then on Thursdays, we've got FSP Crew Show, JPATM Money, Jeff the Joker, as well as Black the Bookie, coming on the air, talking about whatever they want to talk about. I think it's going to be basketball, since basketball is mainly going on during the week now. And probably you guys are going to get ready to talk about some bowl games, right? Some college bowl games?
Yeah, we'll be doing that.
All right. College bowl games. Then on Friday, No Chaser, Matt Williams, Jerry Taylor. I did not catch this week's episode.
You should have jumped on and should have listened to it. We had a T.J. Hall, who happens to be right now the personal security director for Bruno Mars.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we had on last night.
And what was he talking about?
Well, he's talking about personal security for Bruno Mars. I shouldn't say they just for Bruno Mars. He's been for celebrities. He's been like Drake, Christina Aguilera, and those type of people. So he's not just he works for a firm that deals with personal security, and he happens to be the personal security director for whoever he's assigned to. So we had him on for an hour talking about what he does and how he got. And his journey, how he got where he's at now.
Okay, Matt has to, I guess, send me these promos so I can start promoing. You know, I can't promo stuff if I don't know about it. But we got that going on. And then you're back here next Saturday, the Saturday after Christmas. We can talk about all the wonderful gifts we got, whether we won our championship, whether we're going to the championship, and how much money Jerry's going to give me next Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I'm going to get paid. I'm not giving out any money. I'm getting paid. This is where you start giving me. You start sending me some Mooney. You start sending me some Mooney.
I don't know what Mooney is, but okay. I know what.
Yeah, that's Mooney. Cash Mooney.
Okay, we'll see. And then we got my cousin with Grown Soul, and Real Talk. What's going on with Grown Soul and Real Talk, Mike?
Visit us on Facebook.com/GrownSoul.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of a very productive show. We've, you know, gone over the gambit of boxing, MMA, Duck Dynasty.
I didn't hear Jerry's analysis of the fight.
Well, if you listen to the beginning of the show in the archives, you'll hear the knowledge.
And I'm asking Jerry now. So.
No, I'm trying to get off the air. I'm trying to get off the air. But I will say this.
It ain't going to take him but like 3 seconds, Victor. God,
hey. Oh, my. Really? 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 That's how you are?
Yeah, really, man. Yeah, really. Yeah,
okay,
really.
Well, we're not doing it. Listen to the archives, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the archives.
Now, how about
people
I call Jerry when we get off the line? Peace and bless.
Stop. He is a spoiled child, and he hung up too. He is a spoiled, rotten person.
You guys are funny. You guys are so funny.
No, no. You got problems. Jesus, give us some Ritalin or something. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. I know you got stuff you got to do, JT. I got my in-laws in here, my wife and stuff. I'm going to spend some time with them. So next Saturday, 1 p.m., guys. You ready to rock and roll?
Sure. From Macau, Victor, and myself, and Adrian Broner, who I think got schooled very hard in his fight. You've been listening to...
Yeah.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.